welcome to Home Health 101 Podcasts. I'm Kathy Kwan, and I will be your host for these podcasts. Most of them are going to be about OASIS in the beginning, and when we may branch out to some other things later on. Today, I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the OASIS and some of the points that you may need to be able to expand on if you're interviewing for a home health job and they're asking you what you know about the OASIS. The OASIS was something that was mandated many years ago by Congress because of a series of fraud and abuse cases that were brought against Medicare home health agencies. The OASIS was a project that was developed between Medicare and the Robert J. Wood Foundation. And it began in 2000. And it continues on today, and there's really no end in sight to it. It continues to be updated and revamped many times over. That just kind of depends on the kinds of things that have to change with it. Sometimes it's been a major overhaul, and other times it's just been minor things. The OASIS is basically a composite document that is done at specific points of time during the care of a patient. There's one at the start of care when you open the case. There's one at the recertification every 60 days. If you're going to continue to keep this patient on home health care, you have to not only do a recertification orders document, but you have to do a recert OASIS. If the patient gets transferred to the hospital, you have to do a transfer OASIS. And then if they come home, you do a resume OASIS. And then at the end of care, you'll do a discharge OASIS. The main thing that you need to understand is that these documents are very lengthy and cumbersome. They're not that difficult to understand once you begin to realize the kind of information that they're going to ask for. A lot of it's demographics. A lot of it's about the IADLs and the ADLs of the patient. It's about the social, the clinical, and the functional status of your patient at the moment that you are doing the OASIS form. All paperwork in home health is cumbersome, and it takes a decent amount of a learning curve. But once you get into it and you understand it, you will become proficient at it, and it will take a lot less time to do. Sometimes you'll be doing it in your sleep and literally in your dreams. So stick with it and give it a chance. It's really not that difficult to do. One of the more important points to remember about the OASIS is that it has to be accurate information. And this information gets transmitted to Medicare, and it gives them a picture of what's going on with the patient and why they need skilled nursing or skilled therapy care in the home. And then it also is going to look at, as the time progresses, if you recert this patient and then eventually discharge this patient, there should be a trajectory of improvement that happens, and it should be evident in these OASIS documents. And then that information is going to get shared on a website that Medicare puts up that's called Home Health Compare. So if you are a consumer, or even as someone looking for a job with a home health agency, you can go on there and you can compare different agencies in your area and look at the different kinds of outcomes. Where are their strengths? Where are their weaknesses? And, you know, is this the kind of agency that you need based on your own needs for your loved one or for yourself, and the kind of outcomes that you're looking for? Once in a while, you'll have a patient who declines instead of improving, and then maybe you need to consider some other options. Perhaps they need some skilled nursing facility care, they may need some more acute care, or they might even be ready to move on to hospice care for end-of-life care. So those are the kinds of things that will be evident in your documentation of the OASIS, and something that you may want to consider with your staff as well as with your patient. The OASIS document is something, as I said, would get transmitted to Medicare. So it's not a matter of a lot of writing. There's a lot of check boxes to select, and sometimes the answer isn't exactly what fits the situation, but you need to pick the one that's the closest to whatever is that patient's particular situation so that it can be transmitted electronically. So it has to be a numerical transmission. And so you're going to have to pick the best answer you possibly can. Don't bother to write in a lot of extraneous kinds of things that you'll put in your nurse's notes, because that information can't be transmitted to Medicare. Now, when you're working on an OASIS document, if it's a start of care visit, a recert visit, a discharge visit, or you're resuming care after the patient's been hospitalized, most agencies will allow extra time for your productivity and say, okay, an OASIS counts for 1.5 or 2 visits that day. And a lot of times they will pay you extra in order to do those documents and not lose out on, if you're getting paid per visit, that you're not getting paid for 6 visits today. You're only going to get paid for 3 because you have an OASIS document to complete. So those are something you may want to ask questions of the agency about. You know, do they pay extra for it? Do they give you a productivity count that's different than a regular revisit to a patient or not? Because if they don't, maybe you need to look somewhere else. You may not be happy in that kind of a situation, because you might be expected to do a lot more documentation in a day than a lot of other home health agencies may request of you. The OASIS documentation is done on every single patient over the age of 18, unless they're on service for a pregnancy or postpartum related plan of care. So even if they're on private insurance or they're paying privately, you do need to collect the OASIS data from them. So it's not a matter of getting away with, oh, I just want to see private insurance patients and I don't have to do OASIS, because technically you do have to do an OASIS on all patients. One time I had a nurse who explained to me that the OASIS documentation doesn't seem to be too terribly complicated when you think about it, that it's really just putting the nursing process into operation and following that plan. So that may be something that helps you understand it a little better. If not, well, there's a lot of other tips out there. There's a lot of good books available on the subject, but you do need to have some basic understanding of what the OASIS is before you even delve into some of those books, because some of them take you into the specifics of how to answer each question. And that's not where we're going to go right now. In the next couple of podcasts, I will give you one that's an overview. And then, as I said, we'll continue on with breaking it down one OASIS document at a time. And I hope you'll stick with us and look for these. I'm also putting together an ebook that I hope to have available by December of 2017, maybe even before then. It'll be available on my website, homehealth101.com. You can also find my book. It's called The Home, Exploring the Home Health Experience, a guide to transitioning your career path to home health care. And it's available on Amazon, and you can find the link again on homehealth101.com. There's also some very basic information about the OASIS there, as well as the other things that are important to understand about home health care, that the patient has to have a skilled need, they have to be homebound for the duration of the care, and we have to have the orders from a physician. We can't take orders from a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. It has to be an MD, and they have to continue to have the skilled need as long as they're going to continue with care. Once the skilled need or their homebound status changes, then we have to discuss discharge for the patient. Okay. So I hope you stay with us and move on to the next podcast that's going to give you the overview of the OASIS. Thank you for attending. Again, I'm Kathy Kwan, your host.